Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are always in danger of detaching the holy things of God from their object. This temptation extends to all corners of the Christian church, and when we succumb to it, the results are disastrous. Think about it. In removing baptism and the Lord's Supper from their object, Jesus Christ, they are turned from God's means of bringing grace and faith to ordinances. Instead of God creating, strengthening, and sustaining faith, a command is kept. The gospel, God's saving power, is turned into a law and its desired result. People reborn in the image of his loving and faithful Son is neutralized. This is the point that the letter to the Hebrews is making for us today. He reminds us through the words of the psalmist, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." That God requires what we cannot give. He demands through his law that we be perfect in obedience to his will. He wants us to be holy. Make no mistake about it, this we cannot do. Therefore, those that think that they can live a God-pleasing life on their own, those that think that they need constantly to be at work to earn praise from God, those preachers who exhort their people to live a life like this apart from Jesus, are the ones being carried about by various and strange doctrines. They have fallen prey to the temptation. They have separated the holy things of God from their object, Jesus Christ. You see, apart from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, nothing is holy. In the beginning, God created, and then he attached himself to his creation through the people whom he created in his image. It was by temptation of the devil that those people elected to detach themselves from God. The holy things of God became separated from their object with disastrous results. While it is true that God does continue to sustain his creation, he makes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the rich or the good and the evil alike. The effects of this fall into sin may be observed everywhere in the world around us as it groans and labors with pangs. So then, this groaning has not gone unheard. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. By virtue of his unchanging and unending love for this world, God has done what we cannot do. He has reattached himself to his creation. How? Through his eternal Son, who also saw everything that was made and declared it very good. It was this Son who, as we confess customarily in the Creed, became man. In Jesus, born sinless of the Virgin Mary, God and human flesh were joined together. In Jesus, the holy things of God were reattached to their object. We need only look at the life of Jesus, who, as the incarnate Word of God, is chief among those who rule over us, and see the outcome of that life to observe that this is true. Jesus did what the law of God requires us to do. He lived a perfect life, a life made perfect by obedience to his Father's will. That this would be so was apparent from very early on in that life, when his parents presented him at the temple, just as the law required. It was apparent in his baptism when he said, "Permitted at this time, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Finally, That perfect life of obedience was most apparent as Jesus faced his own suffering and death, saying, "Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Thus we consider the outcome of our Lord's life. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. In the resurrection of Jesus, we see the result of a holy life. Eternal reattachment to God in Jesus Christ, who remains the same yesterday, today, and on into the ages. This resurrection of Jesus is the hope of all those who do the will of God. That is, all those who are holy people. So then, since we cannot do this will, how do we become a part of these holy people? Simple enough. By being attached to the object of all the holy things of God, Jesus Christ. This is done by the Holy Spirit, sent into the world for just this purpose. It is accomplished through the water of baptism, where the result of that perfect life of Jesus is given to us. In the water, all who are baptized are washed clean by the blood of Christ. The disobedience, the sin which separates us from God is wiped away. In baptism, we are made to be the holy things of God. As we remain connected to the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, we remain a part of those holy things. We are a holy people, fit for God's service. And so, as God's holy people, we consider the outcome of the lives of those who have spoken the word of God to us, just as the letter of the Hebrews would have us do. We consider the outcome of their lives, as their lives are attached to the object of faith, Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit works through them in that connection, as they speak the word of God to us to keep us attached to the object of our faith, who is this same Jesus Christ. These are the ones appointed by God through his church to baptize, to speak the word of forgiveness in Jesus to all the world. These are the ones who serve at the table of the Lord's Supper, in which God's holy people are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before them in Christ. Standing among those witnesses, we proclaim the Lord's death for the forgiveness of sins until he comes again. We proclaim that death, even as we beg the object of our faith. Lord Jesus Christ, will you not stay? It is now toward the end of day. Oh, let your word, that saving light, shine forth undimmed into the night. In these latter days, we, the holy people of God, are bold enough to beg. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.